Who's the holiest people you can think of? Somebody who's really holy, really set apart. Maybe think of your grandma, who maybe spends lots of time at church, and who you've never heard say a bad word. Maybe you think of a religious leader, somebody like Pope Francis, or some kind of priest, or some kind of religious leader who lifts up the poor and does great things and inspires many. Maybe you think of me. Probably not. But maybe I've still got some of you fooled. Maybe you think of people who give of themselves completely, who sacrifice their life to lift up those who are lowly. I think of religious sisters, religious brothers, those who devote and dedicate their entire selves to the Lord. They're holy. They're set apart. Even Fulton Sheen, he would say that hearing a nun's confession is like being stoned to death with popcorn. Holy people. But sometimes we don't see things completely accurate. Somebody we might think is holy, blameless, completely consecrated and dedicated to the Lord. We don't see maybe a shadow part of them. Maybe we don't see those parts of ourselves either. We might have blind spots. And I think of St. Teresa of Calcutta with this. A saint, someone holy, someone dedicated, set apart, who started a religious community and sent missionaries throughout the world. She worried about the salvation of her own sisters, those who were fully dedicated completely to the Lord. She worried about them. She worried that they hadn't done enough to receive Jesus. She actually wrote a letter to her sisters while she was alive, and it's a letter that kind of hits me right between the eyes. This is what St. Teresa of Calcutta wrote to her daughters in the faith, her sisters. She wrote, "Jesus wants me to tell you again how much love he has for each of you, beyond all you can imagine. I worry some of you still have not really met Jesus, one-to-one, you and Jesus alone. We may spend time in the chapel, but have you seen with the eyes of your soul how he looks at you with love? Do you really know the living Jesus? Not from books, but from being with him in your heart. Have you heard the loving words he speaks to you?" These were her striking words to her sisters, sisters who were consecrated, dedicated, set apart. She worried for them that they hadn't met Jesus one to one. And if she worried about them, maybe I might ought to worry too. How have I met Jesus? How have I encountered his gaze at me? How have I welcomed his love in my life? Each of us probably has these blind spots that we don't like to look at, but places where we still need to be purified. Places we still need forgiveness and healing and restoration. This is why we continually practice penance and continually practice examination of our lives as Christians. We do this all throughout our lives, not just at the beginning of our lives, but all the way to the end. How am I being healed? How am I being restored? How am I examining those tough parts that still need healed? I think of this parable that Jesus tells today, this parable of the prodigal son that all of us have heard probably dozens or hundreds of times even. Who did he tell this story to? Who was he addressing this parable to? It wasn't the tax collectors and the sinners who were with him. They're not the primary audience of this parable, even though they probably overheard it. The tax collectors, the sinners, Jesus actually counted them in a better place than the audience of his that he was instructing this parable to today. So those who are accountants and those who are in the IRS, they're like, finally, we get off on this one. They're not actually the primary audience of this parable. The primary audience were the Pharisees, the scribes, who were blinded to their own sin. They were blinded to those areas that needed healing and forgiveness in their own lives. It says, so to them, Jesus addressed this parable. They needed to hear this story. They needed to hear about the man forgiven. And they needed to hear about the older son too. Because in that older son, Jesus had a message for them. That even though they counted themselves blameless, following the law to a T, they still hadn't met the Lord. They still hadn't received his love, received his forgiveness like the tax collectors and the sinners were doing. They were in this category that was blinded to their own sin and blinded to the areas that needed healing and forgiveness and restoration. The words of that older brother ought to haunt us. Have I ever said something like this? The older brother said, all these years I've served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Really? Not once. Not once have you sinned. Not once have you fallen. Not once have you stepped out of relationship with God. That's what the older brother is confessing here. But if he remains in that spot of blindedness, he remains outside of the mercy of the Father. He's not able to be forgiven as long as he doesn't acknowledge his blind spots, as long as he doesn't acknowledge his sinfulness and the ways that he's turned his back on the Father. You can hear the bitterness in his voice. You can hear how hardened his heart has become at his brother, at his father. But he's not able to examine that. He's not able to do the hard work of looking at how he had fallen because he was so consumed with something bigger. He was so consumed about something outside of himself when he hadn't even recognized his own failings. And brothers and sisters, if we find ourselves in that same spot, that's a dangerous place to be. Sometimes I hear people say, I don't know my sin. Maybe I've gotten so old I've stopped sinning. Probably not. Probably not. It's a whole lifelong of purification. It's a whole lifelong of healing and forgiveness and restoration. Read any of the lives of the saints. The saints, as they progress in holiness, as they progress in purification, it's like they are walking from darkness to light, and when they get closer to the light, they're actually able to see more blemishes. It's like when I'm in the dark, I can't see how dirty I am. But then when I get closer to a light bulb or to a candle, I can recognize more of the things that still need cleaned and healed and purified. And that's the life of a Christian. It's a life growing closer to the light, leaving darkness behind us, certainly, but recognizing I still am a work in progress. I've still got things to surrender, to be healed of, to be cleansed of. And if I think I don't, that's a more dangerous place to be than the sinner who turns to the Lord, who recognizes his fault and then turns to him. That's what I would define holiness as. What's holiness? What's being set apart? It's recognizing my sin and then turning to the Father. That's what holiness looks like. When someone does that, I ought to applaud them. That's holy. Most people in our world, they can't identify their blind spots. They can't identify the places where they've been wrong. They often point the finger and pass the buck. But a holy place is to recognize it was me. That was me. Not just in a general sense, yes, I'm a sinner, but in a specific sense. I've sinned here and here and here. But I'm not going to stay there. I'm going to turn to the Father. I'm going to run to Him, and I'm going to let Him embrace me and throw His arms around me. That's a place of holiness. That's a place where I can live. It's the place St. Paul talks about. Once I've recognized my sinfulness and turned to the Lord, I can say these words: whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. So let's step into the light today. Let's step into the light, even if it's painful, even if it's hard to examine those blind spots in my life, so that I might leave the old man, the old woman behind, and turn more fully to Christ, where He heals me, where He restores me, where He invites me more deeply into His love. Let's be men and women of the light, men and women of the truth, recognizing the Lord's forgiveness and His mercy is real for me, but only if I reach out and accept it.